Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I'm not exactly sure what I do either, so you probably can't be any more confused than I am at times. No, I work at the Canadian Baptist Voluntary in Quebec as the Director of Church Life and Leadership, and so I provide leadership for a team of about 8 of us, anything to do with churches and our leaders. And so it is great to be here. It's a wonderful privilege to be here. I've had the privilege of knowing Sean for many years now. When he first moved to Hamilton, we got a phone call at Mount Hamilton from this prospective student asking if he would be able to do a placement with us. And so we said yes, which was wonderful. After he graduated from Mac, he went and moved into our basement. And so for over a year, we had Sean living in our basement, and that was lovely. It has been a privilege to see Sean meet and marry Jessica, and then even to have a new little son enter this world. It's lovely to watch. Now, when Sean and Jessica got married, you know, Jessica had worked with us at Mount Hamilton also. Once the news of their announcement of their engagement became public, we had a single woman from our church say to us in just complete anguish, "Oh, well, I guess he's off the market." And I didn't really expect to hear that from 92-year-old May. It's been lovely. Sean, God has called you to ministry. God has equipped you. He's given you all kinds of skills and ability. He's given you all kinds of gifts and talents to serve. And you have pursued serving God with your life. This isn't just about you today, though. It's also about this church that has recognized these gifts, this calling, and says, yes, we want to set you apart to ministry. But it's not even just the community of this church. There is also those churches of the association, churches in Hamilton and the Niagara region that said, yes, we affirm that call in your life. And we recognize that, and we want to support that. And there's also 340 other churches in the Canadian Baptist Voluntary in Quebec, throughout our provinces, that want to join in saying, we recognize you, Sean, that you are called apart to live a life of ministering the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And with that comes all kinds of privileges. And I want to identify a couple of them for you. Number one, from now going forward, Sean, at any family function or social function, you'll be number one on the list or the standby to offer the grace. That is the privilege of being an ordained pastor. Second of all, when you go to weddings, you will be required to sit at the table that the bride has her aunt, the religious aunt, because you're the one that can converse with her. That's one of the privileges of being the ordained pastor. But seriously, the most important one is, from now going forward, you have the privilege of being at the lowest pay rung of occupations that require a master's degree. That's what happens. But actually, and seriously, vocational ministry, pastoral ministry, it is one of the most meaningful work that you can do. You are called to live your life in relationship with God, and to invite others to be right with Christ. You're called to proclaim the good news of Christ. You're called to be a witness. You get to journey along people as they move from experiencing sin and pain in their life to the freedom that Christ has to offer. You have the privilege of helping your community function as a new community, a kingdom, an example of what the kingdom of God is like, where grace and love are the things that make you a people. You get to help shepherd that and lead that, and is a tremendous calling and challenge. And you get the opportunity to do that preaching and that teaching and all that good stuff in the midst of editing bulletins, running off children's coloring sheets, of dealing with people who say, "I can't believe that was said last Sunday. Can you believe da 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 da?" And all of those kind of things. And in the midst of all of that, they will look to you to be the support and the rock. or to lead them to the rock that is Christ. And so today, I want us to take a look at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. And generally, you know, I have an opportunity to speak in lots of different churches, and sometimes I get nervous about that. Often it goes all right. Today I was quite nervous because when I'm thinking about preaching from Hebrews, our dear friend Dr. Cynthia Westfall is one of the leading scholars in Hebrew, and so I was a little bit nervous. And so my preface was going to be, if I preach any heresy or any, if I don't exegete the passage completely right, you could go see her afterwards and clarify it. So in her absence today, you guys can still go to her if I make any mistakes. So I'll just let you do that. Hebrews is this book that reminds people that when that Christ is central, that no matter what the temptation is, and there's going to be lots of them, to run and hide from the complexity of this world, that Christ is the rock, that Christ is central, that we are to run towards him, that the life of faith is a journey, and it's a race, and it requires a lot of perseverance. And Hebrews reminds us that there's all these things that are going to be pulling at us this way and that way. But when Christ is Lord, we have our direction. And the book ends at chapter 13, and we're going to read the first few verses. And there's these final exhortations, or these appeals. And so I'm going to read for you from Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 1. I believe the words will be up here on the screen also, you can follow along. Hebrews chapter 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them, and people who are mistreated as if you were in their place. Marriage must be honored in every respect, with no cheating on the relationship, because God will judge the sexually immoral person and the person who commits adultery. Your way of life should be free from the love of money, and you should be content with what you have. After all, he has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. This is why we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way of their lives, as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so these first couple verses, it's this reminder that we need to be open to being hospitable. And that when we serve others, it's like serving God. There's this call to take care of the prisoners, those who have been imprisoned, those who are marginalized. There's this call to respect our spouses, and a call to make money, to be content with what we have. And then verse 7 and 8, and this is where I want to focus in on a little bit. Verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider their the way their lives turned out. What I want you to do right now is just to take a moment, all of you, and to think back on your own life. Who are some of the people who spoke God's word to you? Now, I don't mean just the people who kind of stood up here or pulpits. I mean people who proclaimed maybe God's word to you, maybe people who sat by you in a time of crisis or a time of doubt or during a cancer scare or during a time of mourning. Or maybe a time of celebration. Maybe it was a time when you had to, were at a crossroads and you weren't sure if you were supposed to go this way or that way. And that someone came beside you offering you God's words. And it was like it just got you right on track. Take a moment. Think about some of those folks. And as some of those names come to your mind, it's an opportunity for us to say thank you. You know, you folks are blessed, because God has put some incredible leaders in your midst. I think back even to, at least in my time of being here in Hamilton, is Pastor Robin, who shared God's word with you. And now God's given you Pastor Sean and Jessica. You have Dr. Westphal. You have Art and Jim. These men and women who have helped give you leadership in your congregation for many years. And those of you kids who are here, if you guys can go back to coloring for just a second, but I just wanted you to hear one little thing. You guys have leaders in your church, these men and women, and some of your Sunday school teachers or your youth leaders. And I want you to always be remembering their voice. Because at school, or at parties, or when things get really complex, you're going to be making decisions, and your parents aren't going to be there. And your Sunday school people aren't going to be there. And your pastors aren't going to be there. But I actually do want you to be thinking, man, what would Sean do in this situation? What would my youth leader do in this situation? We sometimes used to wear this bracelet that some people used to wear that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? And no matter what comes to you in life, that's a good thing to remember. To remember what those people hear. To remember, oh man, how would they have dealt with situations like that? All right, that's all the attention I really wanted from you. To remember that. If you can walk away whenever, remember that. I'm done. Drop the mic. And for those who are newer in the faith, that's why God has given you these leaders. And I do hope you think about them when you're coming with difficult situations. Others of you have been in the faith journey for a long time, and maybe their voice doesn't need to be as prominent in your head. But often you probably play those, oh man, what would that person have done in this situation? That's actually a good voice. This is what Scripture tells us, reminds us. It also says that we're to imitate their faith. Now, the thing about imitating faith is this. You know, lots of leaders, they lead with good intentions, right? We all start off with good intentions. And intentions are great. But we're not measured by our intentions. Sometimes our intentions are very honorable, but there's interruptions that happen in our life. And when we have interruptions in our life, it's like we get sidetracked. And interruptions aren't bad. Some of you have those focused lives. You just want to live life. And it's often in the interruptions that it's like God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it reminds you, oh man, you were going in a good direction, but I need you to go here. Or for some of us younger parents, we're all focused on what we need to do, and our kids interrupt us, and there's a part of us that gets a little bit frustrated and, or dare I say, angry in those moments. And yet it's often in those interruptions when we're like, hey, Dad, let me show you something. And all of a sudden, something way more important than mowing the lawn or whatever it was that we're doing takes place. And the same thing with God. When God's Spirit says, you were doing that, but I need to interrupt you and go this way. And so we have intentions, we get interruptions, but it's also important, the impact. We're not measured by just having good intentions. Oh, I want to do this and that. That's not really what makes a difference in the world. The difference is the impact of God's faithfulness and our call to obedience in response to that. And so this passage says, imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. In other words, take a look at the impact of their lives. Oh, talk about a burden for us pastors. Yowzers. And for you leaders, that others are to look to us. Sean's heard me say this, and others may have heard me say this too. You know, part of our call as leaders, and this is a call that is, it's challenging. Like the Apostle Paul, we're called to say, on the one hand, I am the chief of sinners. And every leader must proclaim that. To say, I don't have it right. I am the chief of sinners. But then Paul also said, and this is the call for all of us also, in leadership, to say, but follow me as I follow Christ. Oh, those two things are tough to handle. They're tough to navigate together. And yet that's part of what we're called to do. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Now, the whole point, though, is not for people to follow us. Because we're going to screw up all the time, just like Apostle Paul said, the chief of sinners. And that's why this next verse is so important. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The good news is that the creator of the universe, that Jesus Christ and God are one. And that from the earliest of time, Christ was there. And so no matter what happens in this world, our hope, our faith is grounded that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one day, he will make it all right. One day, all the wrongs, through the power of Christ's death and resurrection, one day he will make it all right. And that is where our hope is. That is what we lead people to. Because the reality is, our lives aren't really that great. And that's what we push them towards. Now, here's one thing that is implicit in what is said here, but it bears me reminding us all. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you and I are not the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sometimes the burden of life is that we live life in the past. Now, the problem with living life in the past is that we can become nostalgic. Oh, life was so much better back then, before the internet or before TV or whatever. We become nostalgic from the way that things used to be. Or sometimes we can say, we almost give this like reductionistic history. In other words, we kind of say, oh, it was all simple back once upon a time in the past. But the reality is there is complex situations and you had to navigate those. Sometimes in the past, we get overwhelmed because of shame. We recognize the mistakes that we made in the past. Or sometimes we have just kind of this embarrassment of the way that we lived, and we never get over that. And so Christ is different than us. The past is not the thing that dictates who we are. It doesn't define us. But then there's another thing that happens for you and I. Sometimes we want to live in the past, or sometimes, if you're like me, I want to live way in the future. And the future, sometimes we can be naive. We have this naive optimism. Oh, in the future, it'll get better. Or in the future, it'll all work out. Or sometimes when we think about the future, we also get crippled with fear or anxiety. And that's how we're different again than God. Than Christ. See, the future is in God's hand. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the call upon all of us is not just to live in the past, because that's often where we live with emotion. It's not just the call to live in the future, because again, we're often dealing with emotion, often fear and anxiety. We are called to live today. And just as God has been faithful, and Christ has been faithful, our response to living today in the present is one of obedience. To say, hey, God, this is what you have for us. And I want to respond to that out of obedience. We also have the opportunity to influence without control in the present. Okay, so for those of us pastors, our influence is kind of waning in society. It's often even waning in our church. We don't have a whole lot of influence. And that's okay. Because our job is not to control what goes on in the church. Our job is to provide influence. To say, in the midst of conversations, not to control people, you must do what it says in here. It's to say, I hear what's going on in your life. Let me tell you what God's word has to say about this. And let them respond. And so we lead out of influence, not out of control. It's very much a Baptist way of doing things. And for those of us ordained and working in the Baptist world, at times it can feel frustrating. Oh man, I'd like to have a little more control in this. But God has called me today to provide influence, not control. In a similar way, we lead out of authority, but not with power. Or we lead with power at times, but without authority. And here's the difference that I want to quickly make. As a pastor, Sean, people are giving you power. They're giving you power because they're saying, we want you to read God's word and we want you to proclaim it for us. And there's a power that comes with that. You're given time to study God's word. And as the power of the Holy Spirit speaks in and through you, there is something beautiful that happens. When God's word, your gifts and abilities, and the Holy Spirit interact at once to proclaim God's news, the good news. And when that happens, there is a power that goes forward. But it doesn't go forward because of authority of people saying, ah, you've got authority. It goes out via the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we do when we live today. Not always concerned about what happened yesterday. Not only just thinking about tomorrow, but when we say, God, I want to live in obedience to you today. And so, my dear friends, my hope for you and my greatest desire for you is that you would experience, you would be reminded of the sweetness of God's words of peace, of God's words of hope, of Christ's words of correction at times and discipline, words of life, words of peace, words of patience, words of self-control and kindness. May these be the words that shape you as you love each other, as you care for each other, as you carry the burdens of each other, as you welcome strangers, and not be just a place of welcome, but a place of true hospitality so that others can proclaim this good news of Christ. And Sean, as you provide leadership here and wherever God takes you throughout your life, my hope and my prayer is that Christ will be in and through you, that you will know that you are loved more than you can ever imagine, and that you will screw up more than you can ever imagine. And that every time you go back, every one of those interruptions will be an opportunity for the Holy Spirit and whoever is right in front of you, or whatever the thing is right in front of you, to remind you of this is who God is. And this is what I'm called to do and called to be. Let me pray for us all. And so, Lord, we are thankful that you are Lord over all, that your faithfulness continues from all generations. Lord, we thank you that from before we could even imagine, you were present, building this world with order, inviting us to live a life of order. And when things got messed up, Lord, we're thankful that through the death and resurrection of Christ, we've been invited into new life. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is where our hope is. And sometimes, God, we mess it up because we get so nostalgic about the past. Or we get overwhelmed about the shame of the past. And for that, we confess and we ask you to carry that, to take that, to free that from us. And sometimes, God, we take on to the temptation of just being consumed by the future, the fear of the unknown, anxiety. God, we live in an age of anxiety, and we don't always know how to deal with it. But we do know that you are the one who is Lord over all. And that is where our hope is. And so may you pour your spirit onto Sean's life. May you give him words when he doesn't have the right words. May you give him patience when he's just frustrated. May you give him an extra ability to recognize what your spirit is up to in those moments. May you give him an ability to be diligent in the things you've called him to have a clarity of intention. And Lord, we will be grateful for the impact that you will make through, in and through Sean. We give you all the praise and the glory for him. For Jessica, also. May their marriage and their family be an example of your great love for us also. We commit them all, the whole family, to you. Thank you for Wentworth Baptist and for its long, many years of faithfulness. We give you thanks for this group of people. In Christ's name, amen.